Good evening, everyone. Thank you for coming tonight to our Slichas program. I'm very honored that Bishus Rav Lefkowitz, who asked me if I could speak this evening, being a member of this congregation for many years, I've spoken on different occasions, but never pre-Slichas at the big gala event. So Rav Lefkowitz, I appreciate it very much, and thank you, and I of course appreciate Rabbi Rice being here. And my mechutin, Rabbi Schreier, who's here, who has been an inspiration to me all these years. For many, many years, I would go to his shul in Brooklyn for Slichas, and now this year, he's graced me by coming here for the Slichas program. Before I start, I just want to really dedicate this evening in the shir to someone who would sit right over there, Chaim Moskowitz, Zecher Tzadik, the Kaddish Levracha, who just passed away, and we're in the Shloshim for Chaim. Chaim, I still see him sitting there. I feel his presence. He was an Ish Yashar, and he's really going to be sorely missed. And also, I would also like to also dedicate the shir to Refuah Shleima, to someone who sits in the back, Howie Levine, who just went through a kidney transplant, Svi Hirsch Halevi Ben Naomi. He called me, I spoke to him, and Yitz Hashem, he's doing well, and he should have a refuah shleima, Meheri Yameinu. So the question is, what did I think? Why did I decide to pick this topic? Is it a burden or a privilege to be an Orthodox Jew? Of course, most people figure they already know what the conclusion is before we start. And perhaps it's true, perhaps it's not true. But I know several weeks ago, when my granddaughter Zahava asked me, she said, "So Zadie, what are you speaking about?" So I said, "Well, it's a question. Is it a privilege or a burden to be an Orthodox Jew?" She said, "It's simple, it's a burden. Simple, very easy." I said, "Really? I'm not so sure that's the correct answer." But I started thinking about it a year ago, after the Yom Narayim, and after all the holidays were over, I was on a phone call, a business phone call. It turned out that all the people on the call, all four of the people on the call, were all from Yidden, all from different parts of the communities. And I was the last person on the call. And when I came on the call, this is what I heard. I heard basically they were saying, "Oh, we're so glad Yom Tov is over. All those holidays, all those davenings, you know, we have to get back to work." And I said to them, "Gentlemen, I think you're missing the point. You've forgotten what the Iker is and what the Tuffel is. You've forgotten what is important and what's not important." They said, "Yeah, but the holidays, you know how the holidays are." I said, "Really? I can't believe that." And then, after Yom Tov is over, I have all my cleaning that I have to bring into the cleaners. And I go to the cleaners, and the lady who's there, Spanish lady, says to me, "Oh, Mr. Savitsky," she said, "you must be so happy all the holidays are over." And I said, "Why do you say that?" She said, "Well, because all of my Jewish customers, that's what they say when they come in. They're all so happy that the holidays are over." I said, "Well, you know, do you get vacation every year?" She said, "Sure." I said, "Well, do you feel happy when your vacation is over?" She said, "No." I said, "Do you look forward to your vacation?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Well, I look forward to my holidays. They're wonderful. They never come early. They never come late." Okay. "They never come early. They never come late. They come perfectly on time." What is this? Okay. I wasn't. You hear these things go off. You never know what they mean. You know. I was. It was interesting because I was. I went during the summer. I went on a cruise, Costa Rica, speaking and so on. And I was in the middle of speaking, and there was some announcement that I didn't understand at all, and I said to everybody, "I hope that doesn't mean that we hit an iceberg," but it was okay. So that's what happened. And then, during the year, when I was learning, and we finished Gemara Rosh Hashanah, I was sitting in the Daf Yomi room, and about 35, 40 people, and the Gemara was telling a story at the end about how we have to prepare when we say our tefillos. No, they didn't have art scroll in those days, it was different. And so you had to prepare. And so the Gemara says, yes, you should definitely prepare, certainly for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. There's no question you should prepare your tefillos. But during the day, during the weekday, it's not so important to prepare because we already know, we know what they are. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you know what? There was someone, Rav Yehuda, and he only prepared during the day. He prepared also, you know, for the day. He didn't just prepare for Rosh Hashanah. They said, Rav Yehuda, he was different. He only davened once every 30 days. Once every 30 days, Rav Yehuda davened. And all the people in the Daf Yomi room went, wow, that's a pretty good deal. That even beats Tachanun. That even beats Tachanun when you don't have to say Tachanun a few times, you know? So I started thinking about it and asking people, tell me, what do you think Yiddishkeit is all about? What's it all about? And I said, tell me, give me one or two words, commandments, mitzvahs, and so on. I said, how about the most important word, which is beautiful? That's what it is. It's really beautiful. And if we understand that it's beautiful, we understand that's the kind of life that we have to live. Because sometimes people think tefillah is a burden. They honestly do. They think tefillah is a burden. Slichus, getting up early in the morning, saying a bunch of words we really don't understand too well. Well, you know, people start thinking about it. I went to people during the week and they say, wow, this year, slichus is great. It's only 3 days, you know? Because if you had need 4 days, if it was one more day, we would have had another extra week. So it's great. It's only 3 days. It's pretty good, but the Erev of Rosh Hashanah, that one's a long one, boy. That takes forever. It's unbelievable. That one goes on forever and ever. But Yom Kippur this year is great. Shabbos, it's great. I said, really? How come? Why is it so great? Well, first, you know, it's a work. It's not a weekday, so it's great. No Avinu Malkeinu. I mean, that's like, that thing takes forever. You know, it's unbelievable. No Avinu Malkeinu. Yom Kippur is really, really great this year. And so this is what people start telling me. So I started thinking about it, and I say to myself, is this really what it's all about? Is this what Yom Tov is all about? And even when you ask people, are you prepared for Yom Tov? Ask people, are you prepared for Yom Tov? You ready for Yom Tov? So if you ask someone who's a homemaker, normally he or she, I have to be correct, normally he or she would say, well, all my cooking is not ready, I have to go shopping. If you ask someone in business, they'll tell you they haven't finished all of their deals, they have to put things together. If you ask a Rav, he'll say, My speeches are not ready yet. I have to still get my speeches ready. But getting ready for Yom Tov means that we're getting ready to meet the Borei Olam. Getting ready for Yom Tov means that we have an opportunity once a year to reach God in a certain way that we can't reach Him any other time. That's what it really means. And sometimes you ask yourself a question, you know, why did God pick me? You know, there are 14 billion people in the world, 14 billion. And there are 14 million Jews. So you start thinking about it. You say to yourself, here's God. Okay, guy, Jew. Boom. Wow, me? Why did he pick me of all people? He picked me to be a Jew. That's incredible. I wonder why. Is it an accident? Well, if you think it's an accident, then you're in trouble. Because obviously it's not an accident. There's a reason for it. And there's a reason why God decided to do that. And do I live a better life because I'm a firm Jew? Do I really think I live a better life, a better quality of life, because I'm a firm Jew and I have Torah and I have mitzvahs? The Torah tells us the Rachecha Darchei Noam. It says initially. What does that mean? It means that the path to God is beautiful, it's sweet, it's nice. And not only is the path nice and really sweet, but the tributaries that lead to it, all the derachim, all the derech that leads to it, all the paths that lead to it are also nice. And they're also wonderful. And so sometimes the goal of life is to really get on that derech hamelech, to get on that highway where God is. And stay on that highway. But sometimes there are tributaries and there are side roads. And the side roads help you get to that path. It's a portal of entry to get to the path of God. You know, funny, one day I was in shul, I happened to be talking, someone was talking, and they said, oh, they were driving to Florida, and they said they went with Route 95. It's a great, great highway. Rabbi Noble happened to be there. He said, of course. It says Hamelech. The gematria of Hamelech is 95. What else would you think? But the point of the matter is we try to get to Derech Hamelech. That's what we try to do that. And how do we do that? We do that, one of the ways we do that is with tefillah. Tefillah is our way, it's our portal of entry to God's world. That's what it really is. And we try now, between tonight and Yom Kippur, to reach those magical moments, those few magical moments, when we actually could almost feel the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our midst, right in our path, and that's what we try to do. And it's not so easy. But you know what? We have all these different interpretations for Elul, Anilu Dodi V'Dodi Li, but I heard another one also, because you see, someone told me, if you look at the bracha of Asher Yartzah, Because in Judaism, everything has kedusha to it. And we say in the bracha, we say, it's impossible to stand before you, to come before you, God. So someone told me, you know what, if you take out the E and you make it, that's what Elul is. It's possible now, during Elul, to actually get closer to God. Because during the course of the year, God is up in the heavenly abode. We have to reach up to God and almost find Him. Here He comes down. In Elul, He comes down to us. He comes down in a way that we can almost touch Him, that we can reach Him. That's what Elul is all about. But when we go back to Tefillah, some of us think the word Tefillah is called prayer. Sometimes it connotes begging, or begging God. And it's true, if you go through the Slichos, you find that in the Slichos, we're constantly talking to God all the time. Who are we? What do we deserve? How could we come to you? And so on. But I saw a beautiful, beautiful understanding of it, a little different understanding from Rav Kook. And Rav Kook says like this. He tells the story over of Yaakov. And he says, what happened after Yosef was supposedly killed? The brothers come to him. He's inconsolable. He can't be controlled. He's lost forever. And then later on, in Parshas Vayechi, when he finally gets the chance to not only, of course, he sees Yosef before, but gets a chance to actually give a bracha to his grandchildren. The Torah tells us in Parshas Vayechi, Vayoma Yisrael al Yosef, Re'o panecha lo pilolti. He says, I never dreamt that I would have the opportunity to see you. I never thought it would happen in my lifetime. Could you imagine? I thought you died. And now I'm here with your children, my grandchildren, lo pilalti. I never thought, I never imagined, I never dreamt it could happen. Rav Kook says, when we finished davening, when someone asked us, did you daven? Yes, we did. Hit palalti, I davened. Hit palalti, I dreamt. He said, davening, prayer is not just begging, supplication. It's a dream. You have a chance to dream with God. This is what the opportunity is. Because there's nothing you can't ask for. There's nothing you can't expect. Because you're talking to God. When you're talking to God, there are no limitations. Everything is open. And I remember one time when I was speaking to Rav David Spiegel, the uncle of the Rebbetzin and the rabbi, he told me a story one time. He told me he remembered that he was a boy. He was a young boy. A teenager, maybe. He said, and his brother-in-law, Rav Binyamin Kamenetsky Shlita, came to the house because they just had a baby. They had a baby, Rebbetzin Noble. And the Rabbi Spiegel said, you know what? It's time to make a l'chaim. See, they make a l'chaim. He says at the l'chaim, I want to be able to walk down when my granddaughter gets married. That's what I want to do. So he said, the Rebbetzin, his mother says, what's the matter with you? You're an old man. Aren't you happy that you have a grandchild now? Just thank God for having a grandchild. What do you have to ask? You want to come to the wedding? You have to ask that right now. He said, why not? If I'm talking to God, I could ask for anything I want. There are no limitations. I could dream. I could say anything I want. I want to go to the wedding. I'm asking God. I want to go to the wedding. That was the end of the story. I came home that night. I said, wait a second. I wonder what happened. So I called Rebbetzin Noble quickly. I said, by the way, your grandfather, Rav Spiegel, was he at your wedding? She said, what do you mean? Of course, you had a bracha on the chuppah. What's the matter with you? Of course, it was at my wedding. So you see, that's what the point is. That's what Rav Kook is saying. You have a chance to dream. You have a chance to do all those kind of things. And I myself know, you know, in life, sometimes we go into a slump. And I want to tell you that I was in a slump. I was in a davening slump. Yeah, I came every day. I came here. I came to this shul. I came to other shuls. I never missed a mincha or a marav. 95% of the time, I went to with a minyan. But I want to tell you that I felt no difference. I honestly felt no difference when I came here. If davening was 6:30 and I came 6:25 and I left at 7:05 and I went into my car, I did not feel any different. Yes, if I didn't daven, I would have felt guilty. That much I guarantee you. Guilt is great. It's a Jewish part of being Jewish is guilt, okay? But you don't perpetuate Jewish life by guilt. You perpetuate it by love and understanding and ava and privilege. That's what you perpetuate Jewish life with. And I myself said, okay, well, you know, okay, of course I davened, but I didn't feel anything about it. And so I said, I have to do something about it. I myself have to do something about it because I don't want to continue to do this. And so I started to think about it a lot. And I want to tell you what I did. And I'm not telling you should do the same thing. Each one of you should come up with your own answers and you should figure out your own ways of doing it. I want to tell you what I personally did, what I had to do. So what I did is, first of all, I started to think of the very first bracha that we make as a communal bracha. The bracha l'hafka men yom uven laila. We said to God, thank you, God, for giving us the difference between day and night, for making us understand the difference between day and night. What does that mean? What it really means is very simple. Rav Nachman said very easily, he said, the world is full of light of God, but to see it, you have to open your eyes. All of us have blessed lives. We're fortunate. We live here. We should live in Eretz Yisrael. We have a guest in Eretz Yisrael. That's the place to live. But if not Eretz Yisrael, if we can't make Aliyah, this is a wonderful place to live. It's a Medina Shel Chesed. We have a chance to do everything that we want. We have affluence. We have more shuls. We have stores. We have yeshivas. We live a wonderful life. And even people who live during the same exact time as us, I don't think all of you would like to be a Jew right now living in the Ukraine or living in Iran or even in some places in South America. We're fortunate. We have a wonderful life. And when we look around and we see what's going on in the world, if we don't understand that, then we're missing something very important. Every day I get up and I say to myself, do I have more light in my life? Do I have more darkness? And the answer is always, I have more light. I always have more light in my life. And so right away I said, you know what? I have to appreciate what I have. And then I have a favorite pasuk. All my kids know. Everyone should have a favorite pasuk. I have a favorite pasuk. I really do. And it's a pasuk, which is a great pasuk, because it's an innocuous pasuk. You see, we say it every day, but they'll never be, Devekas is not going to come up with a song for this, that I promise you. And it's a song about, it's about Avraham Avinu at the Akedah, which is one of the main themes of Slichas. Almost every single Slicha, almost every day, we're going to deal with the Akedah, we're going to learn from it on Rosh Hashanah. And what is it? It's Bayom HaShlishi, Vayisa Avraham Asenu, Vayaras HaMakom HaRachok. It's on the third day, Avraham lifts up his eyes, and what does he see? He sees the Shekhinah, he sees the Beis HaMikdash, he sees where the Harabayas is going to be. Why do I like that pasuk? I'll tell you why. You see, because Bayom HaShlishi means it's a Tuesday. Did anybody ever change the world on a Tuesday? No. Not Tuesday. You don't change the world on a Tuesday. Monday, maybe. Maybe on a Shabbos. But you don't change it on a Tuesday. But what was the attribute of Avraham Avinu? Vayashkem Avraham Baboke. He gets up every day. There's Rizus. That's why we have a bris early in the morning. Avraham was a person, every single day he got up, he said, how can I change the world? And this is what I try to do. I say to myself, today, Bayom HaShlishi, today, what am I going to do to change the world today? It's not going to be a normal day. I'm not going to kill time. I'm not going to go through the same thing all over again. At the end of the day, say, did I accomplish anything? What did I do? What didn't I do? It's Bayom HaShlishi, Avraham Avinu. And you know what? If Ayusa Avraham Asenu, if you lift up your eyes, because if you don't lift up your eyes, you don't see what's going on. And so many people come to shul, and I came to shul to daven. I didn't come to have a religious experience, and I decided I don't want to make my shul just davening. I want to make it a religious experience. I want to do something where at the end of the day, I say to myself, I felt this connection. I did something that was really important. And so every day I look at that. So when I said, I want to do my davening, I want to do something. And I said, I want to do several things. I want to do something for myself. I'm entitled to. I want to do something for Achenu, Kol Beis Yisrael, especially in Eretz Yisrael. I want to do something for people who are unfortunately not that well. And I want to give brachas to people who just need a bracha, who no one else is going to give a bracha. You know, the Hasidim and Rishonim used to go, before they came to shul, they used to think about what they're going to do. And so I try to think, maybe 3 minutes before I come to shul, I try to think about, who do I want to speak today about? What do I want to do today? Is there somebody I want to say something special for today? And it gives me thought. And it's really interesting. So the first thing I do is say the Yehi Ratzon. After the brachas that we have, when we do the regular, we have a Yehi Ratzon. Written by Rav Yehuda HaNasi, by the way. And I love this. I love this prayer. I just think it's so pretty. Listen to what it says. Save me today and every day from the arrogant and from the arrogance. Me, yourself. From a bad man, from a bad friend, from a bad neighbor, a bad mishap, a destructive adversary, a harsh trial and a harsh opponent, whether or not he is a son of the covenant. I ask every day, God, save me today. Have somebody give me good advice. Have somebody be nice to me. Save me from a bad neighbor, from a bad friend. This is what I say every single day. And you know what? It makes me feel good because I say it, because I think it's an important tefillah. And then, when I go further, and I do Rofei Cholei Amo Yisrael, I know, listen, we all make Mishaberachs, and we all have lists of Mishaberachs, and I also have lists of Mishaberachs. But there are sometimes people who just never get a Mishaberach. Why? Because you know what? If it's a friend of mine with a bad sciatica, if it's someone who just had a minor operation, you know how it is in life. If it's someone else, it's a minor operation. For you, it's a major operation. It's always minor for someone else. someone who had a minor operation, someone who went through a mishap, someone who had a bad cold, someone who just didn't feel well, so whatever it is, I try to think of a person every single day that I know that needs that special bracha, because they're not getting the mishaberach, no one's going to be making a mishaberach, and no one's going to be making out their name, calling out their name, but they need someone to say it's tefillah for them. And I try to think every day, who is it that I just met? I just met a person who just told me that he hurt himself, whatever it is, I try to think of somebody that I could give this bracha to. And then, Bana Yerushalayim, I think about that. Yerushalayim, Yercha Barachmin Toshav, the Jerusalem, it's really the heart of the Jewish people. And if you know anything about politics and what's going on, it's every single debate, and that's why they don't even talk about it in the peace negotiations. It's incredible. And so Yerushalayim, I think about the people in Eretz Israel. And then I think about Shomei Tefillah. Shomei Tefillah means to me that we're asking God, listen to my prayers. And every Shkiata, you, God, you can listen to my prayers. And I want to think of somebody who could use... You know what? Sometimes I met a young girl who was going through a terrible divorce. Who was saying... Was anybody else saying a bracha for her besides our parents and her? It's not just that. I remember two things. I remember the night of Sandy, the night of the storm of Sandy. And I remember going to the Young Israel of Woodmere. And going to the Young Israel of Woodmere, I remember there was Davin Maariv. And the lights were flickering and they weren't on. And I said to myself... Kadosh Baruch Hu, I said, Shomei Tefillah, tomorrow morning, let all of these people come back. Let all of them come back tomorrow morning. Maybe they won't have their house, maybe they'll lose some money, but let them come back. It was a tefillah, you know? And it's not always somebody who's having a bad time. I have a good friend of mine, a very good friend of mine. Somebody here knows him pretty well in this audience also. He's a wonderful person. He's a great person. He's getting older. Losing some of his skills. He was a great athlete in his time. A very good athlete. And he's getting older. And I play tennis a lot. Oh, you know, I play tennis all the time. Joel Mandel comes. And he loses all the time because he's older now. And I see to myself sometimes, you know. Remember in the play, Fiddler on the Roof, Tevye, he says, if I were a rich man, he says, Lord, who made the lion and the lamb, you decreed I should be what I am. But would it spoil some vast eternal plan if I were a rich man? That's what he says. And I always say, God up in heaven, would it spoil the vast eternal plan if he won a set once in a while? Let him win a set. You know what that'll do for him? It'll change his whole outlook on life. He'll feel so good about what's going on. So let me say a special bracha for him. So I think about it every day, and three times a day I have the opportunity of doing this. I think I'm the richest person in the whole world because I think of people. Sometimes when I can't think of somebody who I want to give it, I look around the room, I look around the shul, and I think of somebody I know who just lost his job, and I say a tefillah for him. And when I finish, I always say to myself, wow, I think I did a lot. But there's more to that. It's because davening is not just davening. It's a religious experience. You know what that means also? When I think of Avram Avinu, Vayisa Avram Esenov, he lifts up his eyes. When you walk into shul, become an observant Jew. Become an observant Jew. Don't become a Jew who just comes in, you look at your own thing, and then after you don't look at anything else. You know, it's really funny. I used to tell people all the time, if you ever see a shul where the mishulach comes into the shul to collect, you see how fervently people daven. It's incredible. They daven more than they've ever davened before in their life. They're looking. I told the rav in the shul one time, if you really want your people to daven a lot, you get these little statues of mishulachim all over the place. People will daven, they won't look up, they won't do anything else. They'll just look in the siddur the whole time. But the point of the matter is that you should be looking up. Become an observant Jew. Look at the people who are davening next to you. Look at who they are. What's going on with them? Is anything happening to them? You know what? Sometimes it's amazing. I was in the Young Zoo of Woodmere just 2 weeks ago, and I was there on a Sunday afternoon. It was a 2:30 minyan. Maybe there were 20 people in the minyan. And no one was there, so I said, is anyone a chiyuv? So some man said, yes, I'm a chiyuv. I said, okay, so daven. So, you know, where do you live? I live in Muncie. Great. He davened. He said, Kaddish. And afterwards, I started talking to him, and I said to him, so, you live in Muncie? He says, yes, I came here. My son lives here. He said, this is the last day I'm saying Kaddish for my mother. And I said, I wasn't sure I was going to have a minyan, but I knew I'd have a minyan, but I didn't know if I could daven for the yomid, but now I could daven for the yomid. He said, thank you so much for letting me daven. I said, well, where'd you grow up? Where'd you live? It turned out I knew who he was. It turned out I knew who his mother was. He said to me, could you imagine the last day I'm saying Kaddish, someone is here who actually remembers my mother. Unbelievable. How did it happen? Because I just started talking to him. And I make it my business, by the way, whenever I hear someone saying Kaddish, I go over to that person and I listen to the Kaddish. And I say, amen, and I say, Yehoshua Rabbah. And then I always ask the person, by the way, who are you saying Kaddish for? And he'll tell me, oh, my mother, my father, whatever. I said, how long have you been saying Kaddish? I said, it's really hard, it's not easy. Tell me a little bit about them. I said, the Shemesh Avin Leah. Because, you know, I know what it is. I said Kaddish. You know how you feel when you say Kaddish and Shul, and not one person answers you? Not one person answers at all. You feel like you're talking to the wall. So you make it a religious experience. And then afterwards, Vayisav Mizenov, sometimes you look around. Maybe someone has to catch the train. Maybe the weather's not that great out. You give somebody a ride home. Whatever it is. It's not just coming into Davin. You're having a religious experience. You're now connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it's ever about, okay? And so, therefore, when I go to shul now, when I finish, I feel I've done something. And I'm not telling you you should do the same thing. Do whatever you have to do. But find a way of making it meaningful. Don't leave shul and say, you know what, the only reason I'm here is because of guilt. And if it wasn't for the guilt, I don't think I'd really come. I don't know what I really accomplished today. I really want to accomplish something. That's what I do. Because look, all of us, we live in a world that we don't understand. We live in a world of doubt. We live in a world of confusion. We like order, we like Seder, but unfortunately in our world it doesn't always happen. And if there's a person in this room who will tell me right now that they never doubted for one second, they never had any loss of bitachon, it didn't happen, then I'll tell you right now, please see me afterwards. Because I used to be on the board of art school, I have Meir Shlatowitz write a great book about you. Because you're a yotzei min haklal, you're unbelievable. Because that's not what happens to normal people. And we all have doubts, we all have our things. And I think about it sometimes. You know, could you imagine if a person came, and they came into a baseball game, and they knew nothing about baseball, nothing, zero. And they came and they saw people running and people jumping and people going all kind of places. They wouldn't know what's going on. They would have no idea. It wouldn't make any sense to them. I remember when I was a kid, I grew up near Ebbets Field. I was a little boy and I used to go to the baseball games in the fifth or sixth inning. And I used to go with my friends. I remember one time my mother came to the game because it was the extra innings and she didn't know where we were. And she asked the person. The person said, yes, you can come inside. My mother came inside. She looked around. She had no idea what's going on. Wow. I see people running all over the place. Anybody hurt? They said, no, they're changing the inning. That's what they're doing. The inning's over. Oh, I didn't know that. That was my mother. My mother was unbelievable. Talking about my mother, by the way, my mother was the one who taught me everything I had to know about Jewish leadership. And only because of my mother did I understand that if you could be a Jewish leader, there are a lot of perks. I bet you didn't know that, Rabbi, that there are a lot of perks if you're a Jewish leader. So this is what happened. You see, when I was in the eighth grade, right before graduation in the eighth grade, I was in the principal's office, which I spent most of my 8 years in the principal's office. And the principal said to me, she says, I want to tell you something, Steve. She says, You really shouldn't be graduating. Based upon the way you act, you're the class clown and everything else, you shouldn't be graduating. But I can't do it to your mother. She was the president of the PTA. I can't do it to her. She's such a wonderful lady. She spends every single day. She's in the building every day. She's constantly here. I can't do it. I can't hurt her. I came home, I said to my mother, I said, Ma, you know what the principal said? The principal said, the only reason I was able to graduate was because you're president of the PTA. My mother looked at me, she put her arm around me, gave me a little pinch, Steve, but she said, why do you think I became president of the PTA? That was my mother. But my mother was unbelievable. She taught me all those things. But could you imagine? You have baseball, you don't know the game, so they make a rule book. And there's a rule book, and the rule book teaches you what to do. So what does a rule book look like for a car? You know, you get it, when you get a new car, you put it in your glove compartment, you never look at it again. It's this big fat thing. What does it look like for a 747 plane? It must be gigantic. What does it look like for life? What's the rule book for life? It's the Chumash. It's the Torah. That's what it is. And it's an incredible thing that in that little book, Chamishei Chumashei Torah, you can go on and on, Hafofba, Hafofba, the Kulaba. You could look at it sideways and upside down, and Gematrias and Tagim. You could do Kalvachomas and Binyanobs and Mamatzinos, and you could do Gezerah Shavas. You could do everything you want. It comes alive. It's unbelievable. And I want to tell you something. That's what it's all about. Serious learning, serious Torah learning brings you this portal to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But in today's world, serious learning means that you should pick something you like. Pick something you love, whether it's Tanakh, or whether it's Gemara, whether it's Gematrias, or whether it's whatever it is, it doesn't make a difference. You're not a better Jew because you learn a Rav Kiega. You're not a better Jew because you can learn a Marsha. Do what you have to do that really brings you closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and makes you understand the wisdom of the world. That's what it's about. That's what learning Torah is all about. And I want to tell you, as someone who is now on the Talmudic treadmill, and now, God willing, I'll finish my fourth time through Shas very shortly, I want to tell you, one size doesn't fit all. I go to shul sometimes, and I see what happens in Daf Yomis, and I'm a big fan of Daf Yomi. But when I see people in Daf Yomi, and they come 5:15 in the morning, and they've gone through 4 months of Yavamos, and they go through Kachim, and I see them with the glazed eyes, and they don't know what's going on, yes, it's wonderful, and it's great, and it's fantastic. But if that's all you're going to do, you're not going to come away with the same feeling. You have to find ways of making Torah come alive. You have to find a chavrusa who you love. You have to find a rabbi who you like. Go online to a shir, whatever it is, because that's what brings you closer. That's what it's all about. And that's what Torah will do. Torah is a portal of entry to the world of God. And you know what? We never think about it. Last year, I was walking on 53rd and 5th Avenue. And I was walking on the corner, and I see a man, a policeman. And I see it says, Officer Bernstein. Okay? Probably Jewish. I go over to him and I say, Officer, let me be the very first one to wish you a happy and a healthy new year. He says to me, you know what, Rabbi, because you're a rabbi, you see. Rabbi, he says, I have a favor. I said, okay, what? He said, could you give me a pass this year? I hate fasting on Yom Kippur. I said, why? He said, I just can't stand it. And you go to synagogue, and you know, up and down, all I'm doing is standing up and sitting down, standing up and sitting down. I'm not sure what I'm really doing. It doesn't make any sense. I said, look, Rabbi. I said to him, Officer Bernstein. I said, how long have you been a policeman for? He said, I've been 20 years. I said, did you ever have anything you did that's on your record? He said, sure. I said, would you like it erased? He said, of course, I'd love it erased. I said, well, you know what? That's what Yom Kippur is all about. Because we have a chance to do repentance. We have a chance to actually touch God, touch the Kisei HaKavod, touch the crown of God and the throne of God, and say, listen, I really feel bad for what I did. I said, but in order to do that, you think you're going to do that by eating a burger? You think you're going to do that? I said, are you a sports fan? He says, oh, I'm a, yeah, I'm a big sports fan. I said, you ever go to the beginning of a game? What do? They play the music. They do all kind of things to get you into the mood. I said, how do you get into the mood to do repentance? There's only one way. It's by fasting. And by coming to synagogue, and by praying, and maybe, at the end of the day, you could actually touch God. That's what it's all about. I said, and that's why it's an important day. He said, you know, no one explained it to me like that. He says, I'm going to try to do the best I can. It was one, and the light changed, and I left. That was a 5-minute conversation. Sometimes we forget about how great it is to be an Orthodox Jew, and all we think about are the burdens that go with it. They're not burdens. The Rachecha, Darchei Noam, Chamasi Vaseh, Shalom, all the ways that we take are paths to Hashem. And you know what? Those paths are beautiful. And we forget about it. And you know what? The OU, just 2 years ago, they give out awards every single year to people who work 25 years. You know what it's like to work 25 years for a not-for-profit organization? Not so easy. Most of the people are rabbis or people who work there. There was one person, Anthony Lugo. He works in the mailroom. He gave the best speech. He gave the best speech of any speech. You know what he said? He said, I came here 25 years ago. I knew nothing about Jews. Nothing. He said, and I watched people here. And I watched men go into this. Every day they'd go 2 times or 3 times a day. I'd see them shaped like crazy. I didn't know what was wrong with them. I thought they had a disease. I wasn't sure what was really going on. He said, I didn't understand everything you do and what you eat. And someone, he said, I remember one time there was a woman who tripped and I tried to help her. And she said, no, don't touch me. So I let her drop. Okay, so she fell. What kind of people are you? He said, I don't understand. He said, but I've watched 25 years. I've seen your kids. I've seen your grandchildren. I've seen what's happened. I see the respect they have. He says, wow, I never saw anything like it. You tell me about your Shabbat. You tell me about how you give blessings to your kids and you sing with them. You tell me how the family is structured together, how you feel so close to God and you feel so close to what's going on. And I see the great things you do to help people all the time. Wow, I am the proudest person to work at the OU. It's unbelievable. When he finished that speech, everyone got up and gave him a round of applause and said, wow, we feel proud to be a Jew. It took a non-Jew to tell us why we feel proud to be a Jew. Because sometimes we forget. And that's what it's really all about. And in order to do this, you know what? You have to become a Kiddush Hashem. Say what you want. Every single person has to become a walking, talking, thinking, driving, learning, plane, train, wherever you're going, Kiddush Hashem. Because if you become a Kiddush Hashem, you yourself start to feel privileged. You start to wear the uniform. You know, Derek Jeter's retiring now. They ask him, what did he say? Well, you know, when you put on the pinstripes, it's unbelievable. You think of Ruth and Garrick and DiMaggio and Mantle. You think of that. When you come to us, you say, when we put on our pinstripes, when we put on our talus, what do we think about? Who are we? And sometimes we think about it. And you know what? Stop looking at the world and thinking about, okay, I cringe also. I cringe when I hear the news, when I hear some of the things that are going on, and ethics and morality and what's going on. We ourselves have to change that. We could change it if we want. We could become a Kiddush Hashem. And I want to tell you something, that I was traveling, because my business, I travel. One time I was in Minneapolis, and it was during the summer.
And you know, that's a good place to go during the summer, not during the winter. I come to the airport and it turns out there was a thunderstorm. There was something happened and all the planes were canceled all over the place. And you know what? I see people are going crazy. It's unbelievable because people want to get off, want to travel, and all of a sudden a sign comes up saying there's one flight. It's going to Newark. Our flight was going to LaGuardia. And I said, oh, and people start running and stampeding like a herd of cattle. It's unbelievable. They want to make sure they get there. They can knock people over. They don't care what they do. And I see in the corner, Hasidish a Jew. I walk over to him and I said, Rabbi Yid. He says, Shalom Aleichem, what's your name? Like Moshe. I said, Moshe. I said, you know, we have a problem. He said, what? Because he's getting ready. He's got charging. He's got the bulls to kind of like, you know, it's a stampede. I said, Moshe, we're the son of the Melech HaMalchem HaLachem. I said, we have to act a certain way. We can't do what everyone else is doing. I said, I don't have as much a problem as you. I could take off my yarmulke. I do think I could get away with being whatever. I said, you have a real problem unless you can get a shave and a haircut in about 3 minutes. I said, you have a real problem. He says, well, but I have to go home. My family's in the bungalow. We got to get it. I said, don't worry about it. We'll get a seat. Walk, you and I, we're the sons of the king. So we walk. And he kept saying, let's walk quick. I said, Moshe, don't worry about it. So as we come, there's a lady with a little kid, and she's like, you know, I'm not sure who's first, whether she's first or we're first. I said, please, be our honor. Please go in front of us. He's going, crazy, we're going to lose the seat. And we finally get there, and they say, yes, we have some seats. They're middle seats. I said, beautiful. Moshe and I love middle seats. We fly to Israel in middle seats. We love the middle seats. They're great. We get on the plane. We take the plane. We come. We land in LaGuardia, and they say, we land in Newark, and they say, by the way, if anyone wants, there's a van. It'll take you to LaGuardia. I have to go, I have my car there. And so I start to run like crazy, and all of a sudden I see he puts his arm around me, he says, Shmuel Yosef, he says, we're the sons of the king, remember that? I said, you're right, Moshe, we are. And that's what it is. You could be a walking, talking Kiddush Hashem, and if you're a walking, talking Kiddush Hashem, you know great things happen. I want to end by talking about one or two things. One, I want to quote something from Rabbi Jonathan Sacks. Listen to what he says. Judaism can look like a blur of laws and customs until you realize it's a whole new way of living. Halacha is about translating the highest ideals into the simplest of acts. Never doubt that it's a privilege to be a Jew. God asks great things of our people. That's what makes us a great, great nation. I think of this person in the Olympics, standing there at the Olympics when they're playing the national anthem. You know how it is, they play the national anthem, and that person, no matter who they are, you see they put the camera on their face and the next thing you know they're crying. Why? Because there's such emotion. And if you said to that person, tell me, is it a privilege or a burden to win the Olympic gold medal? And they'll tell you, of course it's a privilege. What about all the hard work you put into it? What about those hours of sacrifice? Tons and tons of hours and diet and nutrition and trainers. All those hundreds of hours, was it worth it? They say, of course it's worth it. And that's the point. All of it becomes a burden if there's nothing, if it's not worth it. What's a burden? A burden means you work hard. You come to shul, you say slichas, you daven, you eat kosher, you don't dafyomi, you do all this, but for what? What's the end game? Are you winning the Olympics? Are you getting the gold medal? Yes, that's the point. The point is that we are. Here we are, B'nai Malachim. We have a chance now to win the gold medal. We have a chance to do tshuva gemura. It's the greatest thing that ever happened. Repentance is the greatest thing that ever came about. We invented it. God gave it to us. It's the most brilliant thing in the whole world because without it, we'd be lost. We'd be lost. Where would you go? At the age of 20, you'd say, I can't do anything. That's unbelievable. We have a chance, like the Olympic person. That person never says it's a burden. So if we understand that the Rachecha Derech Noam, if we understand that all the paths and all the tributaries that lead to the Derech HaMelech, that lead to that road, are great and are wonderful. If we understand that, we understand that it's a privilege. Yes, privilege doesn't mean that it's easy. And burden doesn't mean that it's just hard. It means that you have a goal and you have an objective and you're reaching something. And if you can make your davening into a real experience, if you can make your life into a Kiddush Hashem and make your Torah learning really serious, all of a sudden, all those things become a privilege and they're not a burden anymore. And you walk to shul and you're flying and you feel so good about yourself. That's what it's all about. And if we could do that this year, for this new year, 5775 Tafshin Ayin Hey, if we can do that, who knows what we could accomplish? We could accomplish great things. You could accomplish great things for yourself and for the Jewish people. And believe me, you can not only change the history of the Jewish people, you could change the destiny of the Jewish people. Have a ksiva v'chachsima tova, a good gebenstra.